Over these past holidays, our family went northward to Vermont, where Jared's family is from, so my in-laws are up there. And one day we were out driving around and we were getting off of the interstate and came to the light at the end of the exit ramp. Now, this particular location at the end of an exit ramp is often a place that I encounter, and maybe you have as well, someone asking for money or selling some small trinkets to try to make a little bit of cash for themselves. And at this traffic light, there was a man standing there with a sign, "Homeless, please help." I hate to admit it, but sadly, after years of living in cities, for the most part, I've developed a bit of callousness when it comes to encountering people in public asking for money. I have an instinct now to pretend like I can't see the person, or I have my, "No, I'm sorry, I just can't help," response ready before the person even approaches me. So as we near this man with his sign, I envision that the same would happen. We'd approach the traffic light and the man slowly. We probably keep our eyes averted, maybe give a faint smile as we turned as the light changed. And instead, Jared, who was driving at the time, rolled down his window and handed the man his gloves. It was a bitterly cold day, one of those polar vortex kind of days. And the man said, "Thank you very much. I will put these to use right away." And with that, he slipped the gloves onto his hands. Jared's simple act of generosity was a stark contrast to my instinct in that moment to refuse offering help. We can often carry around with us the attitude or mindset that it is beyond us to give. This orientation towards the world says, "I would like to do more and give more, but I just can't. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, or I only have enough time or enough money to help those in my inner circle, my closest family and friends." This attitude is rooted in a mindset of scarcity, the belief that there are limited resources and that giving ultimately comes at a cost. The scarcity mentality focuses us in on all those things that are lacking in our lives. Lack of time, lack of money. For us, since having a baby, lack of sleep. The scarcity mentality can live inside of us as a perpetual no. The same no that was inside my head as we approached the man at the traffic light. This no closes us off. It shrinks us. And it's something that we can recognize not only in our thoughts, but even in our bodies. That tightness and that clenching can reside throughout our entire beings. And it's amazing how natural it can become over time to live with that clenching, how it almost becomes an instinct. Living from the narrative of scarcity has profound effects on how we treat others and how we interact with the world. And human beings have grappled with this spiritual struggle for millennia. The Christian story of the feeding of the 5,000 illustrates this. Many of you might be familiar with this story. After a long day of visiting and teaching people, Jesus and his followers take their boat to a remote place to rest. And the people in the towns nearby hear that he is stopping and they travel to him. As the day begins to end and they get closer to dinner time, Jesus' disciples begin to get a little bit worried. There are thousands of people now gathered there, and they have no idea how they will feed them. They implore Jesus to send the people back into town to buy their own bread and to feed themselves. And instead, Jesus says to them, "You feed them." The disciples are incredulous. "How could we possibly do that?" they say to him. "Do you know how much of our wages it will cost us to go and buy bread for all of these thousands of people?" So instead, Jesus asks them how many loaves of bread they have with them. Some of you are probably familiar with this story. How many loaves of bread did they have? Anyone familiar with this story? Yeah. Five loaves, that's right. They had five loaves, just five. Five loaves of bread, two fish. So then Jesus instructs the people to sit down in the grass in groups. They do, and Jesus takes the bread that they have, those five loaves, and he lifts them up to the heavens and gives thanks for those five loaves of bread, and then instructs the disciples to distribute them amongst the crowd. As the story goes, they all ate and were satisfied. And there were even 12 basketfuls of leftover broken pieces of bread and fish at the end of the meal. Now, even the followers of this great spiritual teacher got caught in the scarcity mindset. You want us to feed 5,000 people? Do you know how much it will cost us? And I'm sure the disciples were rolling their eyes when Jesus asked them to take the loaves and distribute it amongst the crowd. But in the end, they all ate and were satisfied. This story and its seemingly miraculous ending begs the question, how could there have been enough? Some might say that Jesus had the supernatural power to miraculously multiply the loaves and the fishes to feed these 5,000 people. A more liberal interpretation might take an allegorical view of the story and see the hungry crowd and the loaves and the fishes as representing our own wants and needs. Whether literal or figurative, this ancient story still holds wisdom for us today. It asks us to reevaluate what we consider to be enough. And the story reminds us that there is indeed an alternative to a mindset of scarcity, a belief instead in abundance. A lot has been written about the scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality, especially in the realm of personal growth and self-help. Stephen Covey writes about each of these in his best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he argues that part of what makes highly effective people highly effective is that they choose to have an abundance mentality rather than a scarcity mentality. They are willing to share recognition for ideas. They seek mutually beneficial results for everyone involved. Beyond the realms of personal growth and professional development, though, scarcity and abundance are profoundly sacred and religious terms that can serve as guideposts for our spiritual growth and development as well. For whether we believe that there is enough changes how we respond to the needs of others and how we live in community. Believing in scarcity or in abundance directly impacts our ability to be generous. Living our lives from one belief or the other is the difference between having a stingy soul or a plentiful heart. It's the difference between turning away from that person in need or handing them your gloves. So, how can we cultivate a spirit of generosity that enables us to give freely, not just of our money or material possessions, but of ourselves? First, I believe that giving freely requires letting go of the scarcity mentality. Letting go of feelings of scarcity means that we stop buying into the belief that life is a zero-sum game. Instead of believing that another's gain is my loss, we recognize that there is room enough for all our lives to be full, and that we can contribute to that fullness. As Lynn Twist writes, we each have the choice in any setting to step back and let go of the mindset of scarcity. Once we let go of scarcity, we discover the surprising truth of sufficiency. She continues, sufficiency is a context we bring forth from within, that reminds us that if we look around us and within ourselves, we will find what we need. There is always enough. It can be a daily challenge to let go of the feeling that there is not enough. After a long, hard winter, we're probably all feeling pretty depleted. The pressures on our time are real, whether it be because we have a demanding job or children at home. And certainly, while the vast majority of us living in the United States do have enough to take care of our basic needs, we should not be naive about the difficult reality of those who face the lack of resources. Truly having enough in regards to meeting our material needs is a matter of justice and one that we as religious people should be concerned with. The question for all of us, no matter our economic means, is what kind of spirit do we want to cultivate? For me, the belief that there is always enough goes beyond sufficiency to abundance. A belief in abundance is what takes a tight fist and turns it into an open hand. As we unclench and let go of the perpetual no inside of us, we are more able to recognize the abundance in our lives. Where can you let go of the scarcity mindset in your own life and instead embrace abundance? Instead of seeing the lack of volunteers for your project, for example, can you appreciate the gifts of that one person who has stepped forward? Or instead of wringing your hands over the endless to-do list that you never have time to complete, can you cherish that time you do have with your loved ones? Or if you're having some difficulty appreciating the grace of abundant gifts in your life, as I sometimes do, just think about all of the forces, natural and man-made, seen and unseen, felt and unfelt, all those forces that are collaborating simply to keep each and every one of us alive. From the air we breathe to the water we drink to the trillions of microbes in our bodies. As we move into a feeling of abundance, the natural response is generosity. Now, one interpretation of the loaves and fishes story says that as the basket of loaves and fishes was being passed around, people were so moved by the sharing of just that meager amount of food that they began pitching in food that they had brought with them. From the belief that there is enough came acts of generosity and then abundance. They all ate and were satisfied. When we recognize the abundance in our lives, the well of our gratitude is filled and we give more of ourselves to the world. And we don't just give more money, we become more generous of spirit, more gracious in our interactions with others, more giving of our time, our knowledge, our passions, and our love. With a belief in abundance, we live into the gift that we are to the world. Hannah Brencher was living in New York City after college when she fell into a deep depression. Throughout college, her mother had sent her handwritten letters in the mail, one of the things that she looked forward to on a regular basis. And in her time of loneliness and depression, she turned to this practice of letter writing that had given her comfort in the past. She wrote love letters to strangers and left them all across New York City, in subways, in cafes, with messages like, "I am thinking of you today." Or, "I don't know you, but I am wishing you happiness and love and peace." She blogged about her practice and then committed to sending out 400 letters to strangers all across the world over the course of the next year. And today, her organization, which is called the World Needs More Love Letters, encourages people to leave love letters for strangers in public places, and also organizes people to send bundles of letters to people in need, people they don't even know. The letters offer words of encouragement to recent college graduates grappling with the transition into adulthood, words of congratulations to a couple who is about to get married, words of comfort to someone facing a terminal illness in the last days of their life. Through the generous act of letter writing, love is graciously shared between strangers. And we can each share in these gracious acts of generosity of spirit. You can take that extra minute to really hear how someone is doing. You can say hello to that person that others seem to ignore. You can let your generosity spring forth from the recognition of abundance in your life. For life is abundantly full. Life is abundantly full of kindness and mystery and wonder. Life is abundantly full of songs to sing and stories to be shared. Life is abundantly full of people helping each other in times of need. Life is abundantly full of birds overhead and snow underfoot and seeds waiting to burst forth to remind us that new life awaits. Whether we offer the world a desperately needed love letter or a pair of gloves, may we give freely, trusting in life's abundance. Amen and blessed be.